No, it's good. It's good to be with you again tonight. We are continuing tonight our series in figuring out what it looks like when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is somewhere and when He's doing stuff. And tonight we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, as you can see. So the reading is from Galatians 5, verse 22 to 26, and the words will appear on the screen. There we go. So, Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word, and thank you also for your Spirit. And I pray now, Lord, that by your Spirit you will open up your word to us, and that you will speak to each and every one of us here. To the glory of your name alone. We ask this. Amen. Amen. So I used to be a biology teacher in South Africa before moving to the UK, and I really love science, and especially general knowledge stuff related to biology, because it used to be my subject. So I thought I'll add a couple of did you know segments to my talk. And the first one is this. Did you know that tomatoes are actually fruit? Right? Just raise a hand if you knew this. Yes, this is common knowledge, right? So it is also the most popular fruit in the whole world. And if you think about it, like, it doesn't, like, if you think, what is the most popular fruit in the world? Tomato wouldn't be on, like, it wouldn't. But if you think about it, like, pizza, right?
That's where I went straight
away. That's it. So is there anyone here who have issues with fruit on pizza? Like pineapple or banana or something. It's like, yeah. Well, you've been having fruit on your pizza all this time. I don't know if I'm breaking this for anyone or you'll never have pizza again. I hope not. But tomato is a pizza. And so thinking a bit more about this and looking at the internet, I came across these. Knowledge is knowing tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is not putting tomatoes in a fruit salad. Philosophy is wondering whether this makes ketchup a smoothie. And common sense is knowing that ketchup is not a smoothie. Right, all this because tomato is a fruit. And that is a wonderfully complex train of thought, one thing that leads to another. And it's beautifully complex and funny. And I wonder if we sometimes overcomplicate things when it comes to the Holy Spirit as well. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, and at the end of it, we're far away from the real truth of what the Holy Spirit is. We're essentially trying to figure out exactly what the Holy Spirit is, how the Holy Spirit works, what we must do to make Him work and do stuff, or what to expect when the Spirit is working, and so on. And we're essentially trying to use knowledge and wisdom and philosophy and common sense and a multitude of different tools to work out what the Holy Spirit is. But the thing is, we can't really do it completely. We can never do it to the fullness. We can never understand the Holy Spirit to His glorious fullness. God is God, after all. He's far greater than our created minds can ever fathom, and God and the Spirit, therefore, cannot be bound by any set of circumstances, by any set of physical laws, or anything we can come up with. The wind blows where it wants. The Spirit gives gifts as and when He pleases. Right? The Bible tells us that. But, fortunately, it's not all mystery and unknowns. Fortunately, we have this opportunity and we have the ability to understand something and to experience, more importantly, something of the Holy Spirit. And Paul gives us a couple of things by which we can measure whether the Holy Spirit is ruling in our hearts or not. Right? He gives us a list of things by which we can measure is the Holy Spirit really doing something in me and through me or not? And maybe to what level? I know talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about measuring Christian faith and measuring goodness and those kind of things can be a tricky topic. But here's the thing. The list that Paul gives us is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, very important to mention at this point that this measuring stick that Paul gives us is not something for us to walk around and measure other Christians, measure other people. He gives this measuring stick to measure ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. Something else that one of the Bible commentaries mention is that when Paul mentions the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's the fruit is singular. It's a package deal. It's not something that, oh, I need a bit more patience, or I can go pick up that fruit or that fruit, or, oh, yeah, it's summer, so obviously watermelon is in season, or whatever the case may be. It's a package deal. When the Holy Spirit is in us, all of these things become evident in some way. And it's also very important to note that these things are all good, and we want to aim for them. Right, we want more of them to be evident in our lives. But it is not always possible for us to achieve this by trying harder. Right, I still have a very big issue while driving. Patience is not one of my... And that's why I appreciate what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, no man knows how bad he is till he has tried to be very... till he has tried very hard to be good. No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. We are ourselves incapable of living lives that are loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. We can have some measure of those things in some level by ourselves and by trying really hard, but not the full package. But luckily, we do not have to try harder to achieve this. It's not up to us, but only to let go and let God, right? To let go of control and let God take control of our lives. To let the Spirit reign in our hearts and in our minds. C.S. Lewis also said, the Christian does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. Right? It's a misconception, even in Christian communities, that we need to try hard. We need to have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit down. We need to have this down in order to be blessed by God. And God says, no, it's not up to you. It's not because of you or anything you've done. It's because of me, who I am, and I am love. It all starts with God and his love for us. And knowing that it starts with God and his great love for us, made public in the cross of Jesus Christ, we must believe that he wants what is best for us. Right? If you love, James mentioned it about earlier about fatherhood and how that changed his perspective and how he would die for his kids. It's that kind of love multiplied a billion times that God has for us. Right? And if he loves us that much, it means he wants what is best for us. Right? And so if what is best for us is to submit ourselves to the Spirit's guidance, then so be it. Then anything else will not be best for us. But how do we do this? How do we give control to the Holy Spirit? So it's time for my second, did you know? The second one is, did you know if you plant an apple seed, and I did not know this, even as a biology teacher, if you plant an apple seed, the resulting tree will not produce the same kinds of apples. In fact, they will taste significantly different and may be unsuitable for human consumption. If you want an apple to be the same as its parent, you need to plant a branch. Did anyone know that? Right? Yeah. David knew. Of course, David Hewitt knew. David, the next quiz night, you're on my team.
A branch is actually, you can't plant your ground.
There we go. There we go. That's it. You need the branch, not just the seed. Can you see where I'm going with this? Right? Jesus spoke to his disciples about this in John 15. How he used a different fruit-related image to bring across his message. He used that of the vine and the grapes. And he said this, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." It's John 5, verse 4. Jesus says that the only way we can ever bear fruit, the kind of fruit that is good for us, and do it in a sustainable way, is to remain in him and in him alone. That means we need to be fed by him. We need to be connected to him. We need to be grafted into him and somehow become one with him. We have to be intentional about following his words and his directions. Otherwise, our fruit, like the apple, won't be anything close, even closely related to what God has in store for us, to what God's plan is for us, to what is the best for us. We need to open ourselves up to the truth that we are completely and utterly dependent on Jesus Christ. Because as soon as we try to go on our own and try to work really hard to achieve all of these things, we're basically cutting ourselves off from Jesus. So there are three things that I'd like to look at tonight that I think is really key for remaining in the vine. There are more things that I can think of just now, but I just want to look at three things first. All three of these things we cannot do via proxy. Okay, we cannot do it via someone else. We have to do these three things for ourselves. We have to do these three things. And the first one is prayer. Prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. I cannot stress this enough. E.M. Bounds said this, "Faith, hope, patience, and all the strong, beautiful, vital forces of piety are withered and dead in a prayerless life. The life of the individual believer, his personal salvation and personal Christian graces have their being, bloom, and fruitage in prayer." Basically, if we don't pray, we won't be fruitful. If we don't pray, we won't be fruitful. And prayer as a subject is something you can do a whole sermon series on. Right? There's so much things we need to know and learn about prayer. But tonight I want to leave you with this. Prayer is key. If we don't pray, we won't be fruitful. If we decide not to spend time in prayer, we are intentionally cutting ourselves off of the living vine without which we cannot bear fruit. We have to be intentional. And in my own experience, it doesn't happen by itself. I have to make time for prayer. And I'm really not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip. All I'm saying is that prayer is key. It's key for every single one of us. The second thing is worship. And of course, I'm the worship pastor for a couple of months still, so I have to say my job is important. That's why I mentioned worship. No, it's not. Worship is really, really important. And what I mean by worship is more than just singing songs together, although that is a really, really important part of worship. But worship is, in fact, recognizing that God is God and I am not. God is God and I am not. It is putting us and reminding us to put ourselves in a right relationship with God, honoring him as God, as Savior, as righteous, justice, just, mighty, majestic, everything that you can think of. Someone once explained or defined worship and praise specifically as this. It is giving credit where credit is due. It's giving credit where credit is due. John has a revelation of Jesus on the throne and the elders laying down their crowns before him in Revelation 4. And he says this, the elders bow before him, lay down their crowns before Jesus, and they say this, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." If there's one person in this room today that is worthy of all praise, it is Jesus Christ and no one else. And if we are intentional about recognizing Jesus and who he really is, we will not be able to ignore his glory and his power and his majesty, and we will have to honor him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we recognize Jesus is King, our perception of him changes, our lives change. We will have to recognize that he is God and we are not God. We are fully and utterly dependent on him and him alone. And that kind of leads me to the third key that I want to look at tonight, and that is surrender. If you want to remain in Jesus, we have to allow him to be king. It's one thing to say Jesus is king. It's something completely different to act like Jesus is king. We have to surrender our will and everything we have and put it at his disposal in the way that he wants. We have to trust and believe that he is indeed the supreme authority. In Matthew 16, Jesus says this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." There is no half measures. There is no half and half with Jesus. It's all in or nothing at all. And the key is we will never bear fruit if we don't allow the Spirit to work in and through us. Paul later writes, and he echoes this in today's passage. So Galatians 5:25, he says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So we have to pray, we have to worship, we have to obey and surrender to the Spirit if we want to bear fruit. Now, did you know, who likes avocados? Yes, good. Avocados contain more fat than any other fruit or vegetable on earth. Also, their trees secrete an enzyme that prevents the fruit from ever ripening on the tree, allowing farmers to use the trees as storage houses for up to 7 months after they reach full maturity. This is the reason avocados are always in season. It's incredible, right? It's like the tree knows. It's fascinating. Now, it's a beautiful thing. And maybe you can recognize where I'm going with this already. But there's this beautiful verse in the Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. And it goes like this. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. The thing is, if we keep in step with the Spirit, we will bear fruit at the right time. And not just that, we will bear fruit even when it's the wrong time, but the fruit will not be wasted. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful image? That even though the fruit that we bear comes to maturity and it's not the right time yet, that fruit will not be wasted. At the time when God sees it fit for us to bear fruit, we will bear fruit and they'll be ready for the picking. I love that avos are in season all year round. I love it because I love avos. But also because they stay on the tree. They're not kept in storehouses or in refrigerated rooms. They stay on the tree, ready to be picked and enjoy when the time is right. And as long as we remain in Jesus, our fruit will be ready when it needs to be. I don't think the Spirit works in a way that all of a sudden he realizes, "I need more patience," and therefore the fruit of patience appears. I think it grows and grows and grows until I need patience and the fruit is already there. It's not a magic trick, it's growth. It's staying rooted, staying connected to Jesus. But here's the thing, it will not always The fruit of the Spirit will not always look the same for everyone. Last one. Did you know that in subtropical regions like Brazil, where they grow some types of oranges, the temperature isn't cold enough for the skin to turn orange? This means the orange could stay green or yellow even when it is ripe. Who knew that? Who knew you got get green oranges? Like, that's not a real, I mean, just so you know, that's not one of those, I think. That's because of the circumstances, the fruit does not look the same. The beautiful thing about the fruit of the Spirit is that it is applicable and beautiful and God-honoring in all contexts. Right? Anywhere in the world you can go, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are all really good things. Anywhere you can go in the world. Paul even says, against such things there is no law. There's no law that says you're not allowed to be kind or you're not allowed to be faithful. You're not allowed to be gentle. There's no law like that. But, like the oranges I just mentioned, they do not always look the same in every context. For instance, loving a neighbor might mean going to the pub for a deep chat over a cold beer. While loving your other neighbor who has a problem with addiction to alcohol will not include having a beer together. Right? They are both rooted in love and care for this person, but they are expressed differently in different contexts. Being kind to a stranger on the bus may look differently to being kind to my children. A warm smile and a friendly face and maybe a friendly wave might be an expression of love to a stranger. But if I see my kids running towards a cliff or towards danger, then smiling and waving is probably not the thing that I'm going to do. There'll be lots of yelling and waving, yeah, probably. But it's all rooted in the same love. Love expressed differently in different contexts. And that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. I love how the Bible is often very vague and open, yet very specific and clear at the same time. Because it makes it applicable everywhere. Love is applicable everywhere, even if it's expressed in different ways. They are all still the same fruit of the Spirit, but they may look differently in different contexts. So, to sum it all up, we need to remain in Jesus to bear good fruit. We need to remain in Jesus. And we remain in Jesus by many ways, but the three that I highlighted today was by praying, by worshiping, and by surrendering all of our lives to the Spirit. If we do this, we will bear fruit at the right time. And it is very likely that our context will determine what our expression of the Spirit fruit will look like. And that's okay. That's actually a really, really good thing. As long as we are rooted firmly in the love of Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your work in us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to not leave us as we are, to not leave us where you found us. And thank you, Lord, that you do prune things and that you do take things away. And it's all because of your love. May we know this and recognize this and surrender to your sovereignty again. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were the perfect example of the fruit of the Spirit. And that you expect every one of us to know you so intimately that we too bear your fruit. May we do so in the coming days and weeks to the glory of your name. Whatever that may look like, Lord, whatever that may look like, will you give us the courage to follow you faithfully? May we testify to your goodness and your glory and your love. Will you fill us again, Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. Amen.